I'd ask you to please turn with me this evening to the book of Exodus and chapter 3, the book of Exodus and chapter 3 and verse 1. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And so he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And the subject before us this evening is the revelation of God's character to Moses. Now, the passage of scripture that we have read together in Exodus chapter 3 gives a remarkable and most wonderful account of the call of Moses to lead the children of Israel. And in this special encounter with God, Moses is taught aspects about the character and the purposes of God. For Moses then was to be called by God to be the deliverer and leader of the children of Israel. But before that time came, and during the time of his call, there must be a deepening in his experience and in his understanding of the God whom he worshipped and the God whom he was going to minister about to the children of Israel. Now, for the benefit of each one of us here this evening, I just want to provide a brief background to the situation. The children of Israel, the Hebrews, of whom Moses was, had grown to be a nation within a nation. They originally came to live in Egypt under the leadership of Joseph. They emigrated there as Joseph was a member of their family, had become a leader in the land of Egypt under the providence of God. And in a time of great hardship, they were brought into the area of Goshen in Egypt. And there they prospered under God's blessing. But eventually, as the years went by, another king arose that did not know Joseph and did not recognize the history and did not recognize the benefit that the children of Israel had been already to Egypt. But rather, in his own insecurity, he was fearful of an uprising. And so he decided to enslave this nation within the nation. And to do this, he would also be provided with the labor that he needed to build his projects that he was intent on building and his pyramids. And so it was the children of Israel were enslaved and they became completely involved in having to serve the Egyptians under their cruel masters. And they ended up preparing the materials for these great edifices. But despite the king's cruelty, despite the king's intent, the nation actually continued to grow. And he became increasingly fearful of their size. And so it was in a terrible decision, a very evil decision, he commanded that all the baby boys be slaughtered. But Moses was born at this time. It was an incredible time to be born, a time of great persecution of the children of Israel. And his mother hid him in, he was hidden for a while at his birth. Eventually his mother hid him in a basket in the bank of the river and trusted in God to protect him there. She couldn't leave him in the house because soldiers were coming daily and they would hear him cry. So she decided to put him in, make a special basket for him, put him on the river bank, and then when the coast was clear, to be able to provide this means of protection. Well, in the mystery of God's providence, the king's daughter, the Pharaoh's daughter, actually found Moses in this basket, in the river. And she took great pity on this little baby, knew it was a little Hebrew baby, one of the children of Israel, and she decided there and then to adopt him. and bring him up in the palace. So it was in the mystery of God's way that Moses, whom should have been slaughtered under the king Pharaoh's edict, was actually taken into this very man's palace in safety, and he was brought up as a prince. He was adopted into the family, and he was treated like a son, and he was brought up and trained and educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians of that time. And he became a prince in the palace. And so prior to this encounter with God, Moses had spent a life of great contrast. He'd actually spent 40 years in the palace in Egypt. The second 40 years of his life, at which point we're at the end of which is where Exodus 3 is, he had spent another 40 years in the wilderness. And now he's 80 years of age, and God is speaking to him in this event at the burning bush. Well, when Moses was 40, he thought he was prepared and ready to deliver his people enslaved in Egypt. For even though Moses had been brought up in the palace, he'd never lost his identity as a Hebrew. And he was convinced that now was the time to show his identity and deliver his people from the slavery. But Moses ended up actually fleeing for his life, because he had taken matters into his own hands in leadership. For in defense of his people, he had, against slavery, he had slain himself a murderous Egyptian slave master. For this slave master, Moses had come across and found him beating one of his Hebrew brethren to the point of death. And Moses thought this was a time to rescue. This was a time to show his true colors. And his brethren would understand that he would really be the man to lead them and deliver them. But it was not God's time. He was not yet ready, nor were the Hebrew people ready for Moses. So this was a crossroads, a crisis in the time of Moses' life. And he fled into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness for 40 years. So he had 40 years in the palace, 40 years in the wilderness. And at this crossroads in Moses' life, the Bible speaks of it in a very beautiful and gracious way. In fact, at the heart of Moses' actions was really faith, because he, by faith, identified himself with the children of Israel and gave up his life in the palace. And so the Bible tells us that by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, when Moses became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So when he came to this age of 40, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He identified himself with the children of Israel, even though they were enslaved, even though they were despised, even though they were considered to be inferior in the land of Egypt. He identified himself with his people. And the Bible says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He made a crisis decision in his life. He had a decision to make. He could either live the rest of his life in the palace. He could enjoy all the world had to offer. He could live in luxury. But he understood that actually, in reality, these were just passing pleasures. They were not permanent. They were not eternal. They were not. They would not actually give him that real satisfaction in his soul. And they were passing pleasures. And we read, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. You see, Moses had his eternal eyesight on him. He looked beyond time into eternity, and he saw that he was a man that needed a savior, and that savior for his sin was the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as he trusted in him and followed the pathway of following the Lord Jesus Christ, it would mean persecution, it would mean loss, great loss. He would leave the palace. And in the end, he had to spend 40 years in the wilderness. But by God's grace, he made that decision to identify himself with the Lord's people rather than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin for a season. He made that decision. And he made a decision for his soul. And it was the best decision that Moses made, because he made that decision by God's grace working in his life. And he chose to be identified with the Lord's people, to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did it because he respected the ultimate reward in heaven. He looked beyond time to heaven. And so it was that Moses then had the first 40 years in the palace, the second 40 years in the wilderness, where he was humbled under God, living his life as a shepherd. And it was at this point, 80 years of age, that Moses had this amazing encounter with God. And the first thing we can see is that when God came to Moses and to reveal his character to Moses in preparation for leadership, the first thing that Moses must understand about God was that he is holy. And this is the first thing we must understand about God. Whatever else we may think and know in our mind and think we know about God, the first element, the first part, the first characteristic of God that we must know to understand anything about the rest of the glorious character of God is that God is holy. That means that God is separate from sin. God is pure. God is absolutely righteous in all his character. And so this is how God revealed himself first to Moses. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. The bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now just turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. When we worship God, we worship God on holy ground. If we do not understand that about worship, we have missed the most fundamental part of worship. And anything, any worship that does not respect the holiness of God and comes with humility and reverence before God is not worship. It cannot be worship. Because we are approaching God in such an irreverent manner that we consider him to be so approachable, and we don't have to humble ourselves, we don't have to bow before God, we don't have to respect who God is. We just come in our own confidence and as though we're pally. And this is what Moses did. He said, well, this is an interesting sight. This is fascinating. This is burning bush. This is an interesting phenomenon. It burns, but the bush is not burned. There's all this flame, but the bush is not consumed. And Moses just pitches up and says, I'll have a look at this, and this is interesting. And God spoke to him out of the bush. Moses. Moses. And the first thing Moses had to learn before he could become a leader was that God is holy. God is holy. Do not draw near this place in that attitude of mind. Do not draw near. Do not even come near this place. But take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Now, it is thought that this was one of the pre-incarnation appearances of Christ in the form of an angel. And Moses heard the voice of God. He was filled with fear. His whole attitude changed from fascination to fear because of the holiness of God that came to him through the fire. And the approach of Moses totally changed when God spoke from the middle of the bush. Moses learned he could not commune or deal with God on a casual basis. He had to see, first of all, if ever he was going to be a leader, that God is holy. Now, the burning bush not consumed signified God's presence. God is everlasting. It signified God's purity and God's power. It symbolized also that although the children of Israel were in this furnace of affliction, this furnace of slavery, they were not consumed because God was with them and he would ensure this nation in suffering. And it symbolizes today the church of the living God, which even though it's being persecuted, and even though in this land laws are being passed which are anti-God and anti-biblical and anti-Christ, the church will remain because God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, the psalmist said. And so Moses had then this encounter with the holiness of God in Christ Jesus. And this experience changed Moses forever. It changed Moses into a man who was casual about God, and casual in worship, and casual in his appreciation of God, to a man who had great respect and reverence to God. A man who developed in his spiritual life, who had made that incredible decision to identify himself with the people of God. A man who had by faith looked to Jesus and by faith made that decision to suffer with the people of God. This same man, Moses, if he was to be a leader, must have an even deeper work going on in his heart. And he was to be so overwhelmed with a sense of the holiness and majesty of God with whom he had to do. And this really was the secret behind the authority and the success, we might say, of the leadership of Moses under God. But I want us now to see another aspect of the character of God that Moses must see and understand. And that is the compassionate understanding of God. So the first thing Moses must understand as a leader to be was that God is holy, but then he must also understand that God is love. God is not only holy, God is love. And the more we understand about the holiness of God, the more we will appreciate the love of God and the grace of God and the amazing compassion of God, that a holy God should look down upon this earth and see a people oppressed, a people who are crying out unto him, and come down to deliver them, which he did in the leadership of Moses. And so if you will turn with me to verse 7, we read now of a different aspect of the character of God. He's not only holy, but listen to this. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry, and because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me. I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now this is an incredible revelation for Moses. Here was God at first making him aware of his holiness. We are taught in the word of God he is a consuming fire. But the fact that Moses was not consumed by this fire and the bush was not consumed was because the Messiah was present as the angel of the Lord in that bush. And this is one of the amazing things about the holiness of God. How is it that we can have to do with such a holy God and not be consumed by the holiness of God? It's because of the Lord Jesus. It's because of Jesus Christ. Because He is there as our Savior and our Lord. And God deals with us in Christ Jesus the Lord. And we're not consumed by His holiness, but we're actually recipients of His love and grace in Christ Jesus the Lord. And so this brings us to the second revelation of God's character to Moses, His love and compassion for the needy in Christ Jesus. And this is clearly manifest in the manner which the Lord spoke to Moses. He said, I have seen the oppression of my people. There is nothing in this world hidden from God. Every move we make, every thought we make, every word we speak, every action we take is known to God. This is an awesome thought. The psalmist David said that such knowledge was too wonderful for him to comprehend. And the word in the original language here means that God has observed and He's considered the matter before His eyes. And there was something happening to the children of Israel that grieved God. His people were oppressed. They were enslaved. They were caught in the clutches of the enemy. And He says, I have heard their cry. The children of Israel were crying out to God. Their lives had been transformed from prosperity in Goshen to slavery. And they cried out to God in their trouble. And we see here that God does hear our cries. And there is nowhere in this life that God will not hear your cry. We read in the Word of God of people in desperate situations. We read of Jonah, who was thrown overboard the boat and swallowed up by a tremendous whale. And we read that Jonah, in the midst of this whale, cried out to God. And God heard him. And eventually the whale vomited Jonah out onto the beach. And Moses and Jonah lived to tell the tale. And the greatest tale, that the greatest testimony of Jonah had to say about that awesome event, was that God heard him. Even where he was in the depth of the sea, God heard him. And so God hears you. Even when you cry out to God this evening, wherever you are, whatever is your condition in life, wherever you are coming from, God will hear your cry. I know their sorrows, God says. He knows the problem the children of Israel were in. He had perfect understanding of the situation. When we go to God, we can be sure He knows. In fact, God knows even better than we do. God sees then. I've seen the oppression of my people. God hears. I have heard their cry. God knows. I know their sorrows. Well, we see then in verse 8 the revelation of His deliverance. The delivering character of God. He loves to deliver people who cry to Him. God came down to Moses and called Moses personally to be the deliverer of the children of Israel. He equipped Moses. He prepared Moses. Then He sent Moses. God saw the problem. God heard about the problem. God acquainted Himself with the problem. And God gave the answer to the problem. But actually, it was some while before the children of Israel were delivered. Because God, in His sovereignty, was not only going to deliver, He was also going to use that opportunity to judge these terrible oppressors at this time. And actually, when the children of Israel first cried out to God, things got worse instead of better. And this might seem very strange. And when Moses eventually went with Aaron to present the case before the king and said, let my people go, the oppression got even worse for a while. But God answers in His way, in His wisdom. So Moses was taught a little of the wonderful character of God, the nature of his holiness, the nature of his compassionate understanding, the nature of his deliverance. His deliverance will be in his time, in his way, for his glory. And it came in such a way that when the Lord eventually delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, the children of Israel could see the perfect timing of God, and it caused great praise, great joy. Eventually, they went out trusting in the Lord. But I want to make, in conclusion, an application here, because it speaks to us about the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. So many accounts in the Bible teach us about what God does for us as needy sinners in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this passage of Scripture is not only a comfort to the Lord's people, it's not only an important indicator of the qualifications for leadership the way that God prepares men for leadership. God sees, God hears, God knows, God delivers. That is the comfort. The preparation for leadership is understanding something of the holiness of God and the love of God. But this account speaks to us so powerfully about the way of the gospel. So God sees. What does God see? He sees your condition this evening. He knows all about you. God saw the helplessness of mankind to save themselves. He knew they were enslaved by Satan. He saw them day by day living under his power. And the children of Israel in the land of Egypt is a picture of the unbeliever caught up and enslaved in sin. And God sees this situation. He looks down from heaven. He sees the bondage, the entrapment, the slavery of the sinner under Satan. And he hears the cry of the sinner. In other words, when we realize our situation, we realize our need, we realize that actually we're being driven by the world, we're enslaved by the world and all its philosophies of life, we're enslaved by Satan, we're not free really. We realize that actually we're trapped, and above all this, we are given an understanding in measure of the holiness of God. And when we consider the great holiness of God and what we are, there's such a contrast. And so the children of Israel cry out in their helplessness to the Lord. They couldn't deliver themselves, and we cannot deliver ourselves from sin or Satan. So we cry out to the Lord, and he hears us. He sends the answer. He has sent the answer, the problem, as God sent Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. So God sent his only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this world. He sent him. He came to this world to be the deliverer, to deliver us from the bondage of Satan, deliver us into the glorious liberty of his salvation. He gave his only beloved Son, the leader of the church, that we might be delivered from hell to heaven, from earth to heaven, that we might at last arrive in the heavenly Canaan land. He has this grand purpose for the saved sinner. As Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, as Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, so Jesus, our Savior, leads us out of the bondage of sin and Satan and finally brings us into heaven. And so we see this characteristic of God. Yes, he is holy, but he is also a God of love and compassion. He sees the plight of the sinner. He hears the cry of the sinner. He sends the answer to the problem of the sinner in the person of Jesus Christ. And he has a grand and gracious and wonderful purpose for the saved sinner in Jesus Christ, to bring them at last to glory in heaven above.